Yes.
You're rolling.
All right. Your wife had to fix this for you, didn't she? Yes.
This thing kind of always in my mind, it was a representative of the temple that they would have in Jerusalem eventually.
Representative of the temple. Okay, that's interesting. Some people talk about that too. That's interesting. Okay. So, church house representation, temple, physical manifestation. Physical manifestation. Throughout the Old Testament, you will hear the phrase before Jehovah or before the Lord. You will see that. It is a place of worship. It is a physical manifestation of what was spiritually true. That's what we need to understand. 1 Kings 8:27, heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain God. Psalms 139, 7, verses 7 and following, talks about God's omnipresence. Isaiah 66, and verse 1, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Jeremiah 23 and 24, Jehovah God will ask the question, do I not feel heaven and earth? So the tabernacle itself was a physical manifestation, a place of worship of what was already true, that God is among his people. Now, to the Jew, we know that it was special, especially in the temple days. The Jews thought that the tabernacle showed fellowship with God, and having that fellowship, it meant that there would be provision and perfection. And if you remember on Wednesday night when we did a brief study of the prophecies of 70 AD and of the destruction of Jerusalem, of all the tragedies that were happening during that time, the greatest tragedy to the Jew was the destruction of the temple, simply because that showed to them that God had pulled out his fellowship, his provision, and his protection. So these are things that the Jew would see in this tabernacle. But look at the picture that I gave you, the copy that I gave you yourself. What do you see that's important about this tabernacle? It's in the center of the people. It's in the center of the people. It's in the center. Okay, turn to John chapter 1. In John 1, it begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, because there's no article A in the Greek, there are some religious bodies who take the position saying that, and the Word was a God. But the Greek literally says, and God was the Word. The Greek is very emphatic on that point. God was the Word. So whether there is an article A in the Greek, which there is no article A, is beyond the point. The Greek statement literally says, and God was the Word. Now I'm bringing this point out to get us into verse 14 of chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt is the word tabernacle. So, the Word who was God became flesh and he tabernacled among the people. So now we see even all the way back to the beginning of the tabernacle, the establishment of the tabernacle, we see the shadow of what was not only literally true at that time, but of what Christ would be among his people. He would tabernacle among his people. And then notice what it says. The Word became flesh and dwelt among the people. And we, what? Beheld his glory. Some translations will have, we have seen. Some translations will say, we saw his glory. If you look in John chapter 1 and verse 29, we see John the Immerser looking up, and he saw Jesus coming. Now, the word saw here in 129 is the word blepo. The word beheld, or we have seen, or saw, in verse 14 is the word theome, which we get our word theater from. So there's a difference in the two words. Slight difference, but there is a difference in the two words. What do you do in a theater?
See movies.
You see a movie. Is that all you do is just see it? You hear it? If you go into an action movie, what do?
Feel it.
You feel it. You get involved with it. And that's the idea of the word philme in the Greek. We beheld his glory. In other words, they did more than just see him. They did more than just hear him. But they got involved with him. Now, I do realize we can go to some movies, bore us to tears, I understand that. I was taken to see Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Talk to him.
You like that one, huh? I went straight to sleep on it. Worst move in my life. No offense. But if I go see something like, oh, say, Hunger Games or Divergent, Star Wars, Star Trek, something like that, I'm in that jet fighter or whatever. I am involved in that movie. And that's the idea of the word theome. We get involved. We beheld his glory. But the idea that I want you to see here, that in the idea of Jesus becoming flesh, he tabernacled among his people, beheld his glory. We got involved with it. Three major times that you see the glory of God mentioned. Now, it's mentioned a lot of times, but three major times at the dedication of the tabernacle. 1 Kings 8 at the dedication of the temple. And John 1:14. At the incarnation of Christ. Three major points of the glory of God. Now, like I said, the glory of God is mentioned and seen throughout the thing, but these are the three major points that we see as far as the tabernacle goes. Now, the question is, what was the tabernacle? Okay, let's go to Hebrews now. Let's just go to Hebrews 8. And all we're trying to do is get an understanding of the tabernacle. To get an understanding of what the Levitical sacrificial system was, what the Mosaic constitution was. And the reason why we need to understand that is so that we can understand clearly of what it is to be in Christ. Because it's easy to try and pick apart things when we're talking about shadows and copies and stuff like that. Let's just look at a few verses, and then we'll do a little talking about it. And if I'm talking too much, somebody else take over and you can talk. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now, in the things which we were saying, the chief point is this. We have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. Verse 2. A minister of the sanctuary or the holy things. And of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. 9 through 6, or chapter 9, 6 through 9. Now these things having thus the pair, the priests go in continually into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the services, but into the second tabernacle, talking about the Holy of Holies, once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Spirit signifying that the way into the holy place have not yet been made manifest, while the first tabernacle is standing. Verse 9, which is a figure or an illustration or a symbol for the time presence. Translations differ there. So the first tabernacle was a figure, okay, or a symbol. 9:24, if you'll look at that, let's pick up in verse 23. It was necessary, therefore, that the copies of the things in the heavens should be cleansed with these, talking about the blood, but the heavenly things themselves with the better sacrifices than these. Verse 24. For Christ entered not into a holy place made with hands, like a pattern to the true, but into heaven itself, now appear before the face of God. And now if you'll go down to chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifice year after year, which they offer continually. Okay, that's good enough on that. So as we looked at the passages of Scripture, I want you to notice that there are shadows of good things to come. That Jesus was a minister of the true sanctuary. That in verse 9 of chapter 9, that the first was a figure for the time present. 9:23 and 24 says that it was a pattern or a copy of the heavenly things. And 10:1 speaks of a shadow of the good things to come. Now, the question that I have for you guys is just simply this. What are the good things to come? What is the time present? And what is the heavenly things? Because the tabernacle and its system was a copy of these things. Okay, dead silence, good. Let's go to 8:5. Now we're just kind of jumping around. Now 8:5, but I want us to get the picture. That's why I gave you the picture of the tabernacle. 8:5. Who serve that which is a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. So the tabernacle and its system was what? A shadow and a copy of the heavenly things. There are two Greek words here that are being used. One means the word shadow, and the other one means the word, one means the word copy, and the other means the word shadow. It is literally in the Greek a shadow copy. Now, are shadows dependent upon themselves? No. There is no way a shadow is dependent upon itself. A shadow must have a substance to exist. As I pointed out last week, I held up the handout that I gave, and I said this was the original. What you have are the copies. The copies that you have are dependent upon the original, which I have. Does everybody understand that? Okay. So, same principle that we see here in what is being said here in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. But notice, as he talks about the shadow copy, notice what he says of the heavenly things. Even as Moses is warned, and we see this in Exodus 25:40, even as Moses is warned of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for says he, that you make all things according to the pattern that was showed to you upon the mount. So Moses had a clear warning that whatever the Levitical system, whatever the tabernacle involved, the sacrifices, the priesthood, and whatever was involved, had to depend upon what he was shown upon the mount. Let me give you an example. Supposing Christ had been hung instead of crucified. Or suppose Christ's legs were broke like the other two men he was crucified with. Suppose they were broke. What would have happened? Dead silence. I'll just keep talking until somebody throws something in there, okay? If Christ had been hung instead of crucified, or if his legs had been broken and he had died like the other two thieves, like the other two men, not the other two thieves, that would be, anyway. You know what I'm saying. Then prophecy would have had to have changed. Everything that was said about what Christ was would have had to have been changed. The tabernacle itself would have had to have been changed. The sacrifices would have had to have been changed. You see how serious God was about Moses keeping to the copy of the blueprint that he was shown upon the mount. Because they were copies of what? The heavenly things. They were a copy of the heavenly things. So the tabernacle was more than just a tent. And while we're talking about that, if you'll notice when you read the book of Hebrews, he never mentions the word temple. Never does. He always refers to the tabernacle. So, if the tabernacle was the copy of the heavenly things, what was the heavenly things?
You're talking about the goodness, the kindness, the self-control?
Whatever we see in the tabernacle system, what are the heavenly things? They were copies of the heavenly things. Yeah, that'll work. That's a copy of the heavenly things. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and following, we are to what? If you have been raised together with Christ, then what?
Keep your mind on things above.
Yeah, seek what? The heavenly things. Seek the heavenly things. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, or 4. When you look at the tabernacle, let's just go from the picture because as you can see, this study could develop into a lot of things. But as you look at the tabernacle, it's among the people. Physical manifestation of what's already true among the people. How many doors were there in going into the tabernacle?
One.
One door. How many doors going into the holy place? And how many into the Holy of Holies?
One.
Okay. How many doors are there for us to go into the presence of God?
One.
Who is that door?
Jesus.
John 10:7, right? I am the door. In John 13 and verse 6 and 9, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Is it 13?
14.
Thank you. I knew I was close. So John 14, verses 6 through 9, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. So in the tabernacle, we see the heavenly things as far as what? The entrance to God. Also, as we notice in the tabernacle, that the tabernacle itself, while among the people, it separates itself from what? The world. It separates itself from the world. When one enters into the tabernacle, he goes for two reasons. One of two reasons. One, either to worship or to seek forgiveness. He either goes in there to worship or he seeks forgiveness. So, we've got one door. Also, we have the altar of burnt offering. And that is for worship or the sin sacrifices. We in Hebrews 13:10, speaking of the peace offering, he will say, "We have an altar which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat thereof." That altar would be the Christian system. That would be all the privileges that one has under the Christian system. And then we have the laver for ceremonial washing. In Exodus 29, we see that the priests, Aaron and his sons, were washed. Before Jesus began his ministry, what did he do? He was immersed by John the Immerser. So we have the idea of cleanliness. Now, we know Acts 2:38, but how about 1 Peter 3:21? Speaking of the penal judgment of the flood, what saved Noah and them from the penal judgment of the flood? An ark. But it was the waters that washed away what? The wicked world. The waters washed away the wicked world. So Peter will say, immersion, in like manner, immersion does now save you. Not a washing of the flesh, but a clear conscience towards God. And then we have the table of showbread. On the table of showbread, there are 12 loaves. Why 12? Huh? 12 tribes of Israel. Oftentimes in the Bible, the number 12 will mean the number 12, and sometimes it means the people of God. It will mean the people of God. 12 times 12 is what? 144. Now the number 10 is completeness. 10 times 100 is what? 1,000? 10 times 100 is what? Is my math wrong? Is 10 times 100 1,000? 1,000 and 144 equals what? 144,000. Now you understand the illustration in the book of Revelation being all the people of God around the throne of God in the vision. Now, it also symbolizes fellowship with his people, communion. So the table of showbread has its significance. It's a show of the heavenly thing. The candlestick lit up the holy place. It burnt continually. What would be the significance of that? Could be, yep.
The light.
The light.
As we look at the seven churches of Asia where he took away, they removed their candlestick, their influence.
Yep. There could be that.
Connection there.
How about Matthew 5? You're a what? On the hill. A light on the hill. What is Jesus? What is Jesus called?
Light of the world.
Light of the world. What does Psalm 119:105 say? Thy word is a what? A lamp unto my feet. These are just some of the ideas of the heavenly things. Some of the ideas. And then we have the altar of incense, which is before the veil. If you notice in the Hebrew letter, you have it in the Holy of Holies, which is a different discussion altogether. But you still understand that the altar of incense is before the veil, before the throne of God. That would indicate what? Prayer? Yeah, prayer of the saints. Revelation 8:3 gives us that answer. Revelation 8:3 will talk about prayer. So the prayers of the saint, these are some of the heavenly things. And then we have the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is seen in some places as the throne of God. This is where God spake from to the Moses. To Aaron, the high priest, from the Ark of God. Now, as we look at the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle, it had the tables of the law, Aaron's rod, and a pot of manna. These were placed in there. There were two cherubim looking down upon these things, and in between them was the mercy seat. Now, the cherubim, McGuigan will call them God's war wagon. That's a good illustration of them because they are executor of God's justice. That's what the cherubim are. They're looking down upon the law. And outside that tabernacle, there is a body of people who every second of every day is breaking one of those commandments. What is keeping the cherubim from going out there and destroying the nation of Israel? The mercy seat. The mercy seat, yeah. The mercy seat is typical of Christ. He is the very one who keeps God's vengeance from coming upon us now. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Some people raise their hand. I was
Go ahead. There was in the original.
I was going to say, with the manna, maybe manna was miraculous in more ways than one. It was like a McDonald's hamburger and it never went bad.
No, it was just sitting in there as a representation.
Okay.
And then later on, it went away along with Aaron's rod.
It wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Manna no longer was there.
So, yeah, and it never says what happens to it. As far as McDonald's hamburger, yeah, you can use them as a hockey puck after a while. Go ahead.
Is there, it's been a while since I've studied this in depth, but is there a connection there to the seed of Moses in, and the mercy seat?
You know, I don't know.
And when you look, I can't remember what passage I'm not even looking at it, but that's the first thing that came to my mind. If those two, if there was a parallel there.
I don't know. I'll have to look. That's another question. You've only got one more, and you're a lot more to be used up. I don't know. I'll look that up and see if I can find that answer. But I do know that the mercy seat was typical of Christ. It is called the propitiation. Romans 3:25 uses the same word as in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 5 or 6, something like that. I had it written down somewhere. But anyway, the mercy seat, typified of Christ, and basically it is what keeps the avenging angels of God from coming and destroying the city. Well, that's Hebrews 9:5. The Greek word is propitiation, yeah. All right. Now, this is a brief study, very brief. And as you can tell, it could go even longer as far as studying the tabernacle itself. The reason why I brought this out was just simply to take a break during this time, because this is a hectic time. We're visiting, we've got family and friends coming over, and this, that, and the other. But I thought this would be a good time to talk about the tabernacles itself and show that the tabernacle was more than just a dusty old tent that was carried about with the children of Israel. That it did have true meanings, that it was a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. We discussed some of them. There are many more that you can say. There's many ways that you can approach this topic, but you have to remember that whatever you view the tabernacle of being, it was a shadow copy of the heavenly things. It was a type of the antitype, which was to come and be fulfilled in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Appreciate your comments, raising your hand and asking questions and things like that. God bless you all.